When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and he's not a man. He's spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning, but as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die, but as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today. And he's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox. But there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church, where oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WHAR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome. It's time to get everything started off right with some great worship and praise music by some of our favorite artists, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This one's called Here I Am to Worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my.
Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to be bringing you a very important message that I brought forth to our local assembly, Christian Apostolic Church, very recently. The message is entitled simply, Remember. But before we get to that, we have time for one more awesome song by our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This song is entitled simply, Lord, Let Your Glory Fall.
You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. Lord, let your glory fall.
Your love endures today.
Well, by the magic of technology, my pre-recorded voice is coming to you while I and my family are on vacation, visiting relatives in Louisiana. I ask you to pray for us for a safe trip and a safe return home. And in just a few moments, we're going to get to that message that I told you about, that message entitled Remember. But before we do, I want to remind you that we're closing in quickly on our deadline for your angel food order for the month of December. The December lineup, the menu looks wonderful. In addition to the regular box, always a favorite, and the new senior box, which has become a new favorite, there is also a special holiday Christmas dinner box. And then they have not three, not four, not five, but six special packages to choose from. And the deadline for ordering, the final day to order, is Monday, December 8th. Also, something new that Angel Food is doing is they have moved the distribution date up closer to the ordering deadline. You used to have to wait almost 2 weeks before you could get your Angel Food order, and now you get it at the end of the same week. So your final day to order would be Monday, December 8th, and the food distribution date is Saturday, December 13th. All the food is restaurant quality. There are no restrictions. It's available to all. And for a $30 package for the regular box, you can get enough food to feed a family of four for a week. You just can't beat it anywhere. And remember, we can now receive orders online, saving you gas and time and money. CAC and Angel Food Ministries, helping families eat better. Check us out on the web at cac.us.com/angelfood. That's cac.us.com/angelfood. And now, as promised, we're taking you to a digital recording of a service at Christian Apostolic Church in which I brought forth live the message that you're about to hear, entitled simply, Remember. The word Ecclesiastes means preacher, but oftentimes we don't really ask ourselves much what message this preacher preached. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and it is a book of profound wisdom. And because of the sad nature of the world around us due to the curse of sin, a book in the Bible that reflects upon the condition of nature around us is going to of necessity be a dark book. Cursed children of Adam have done some terrible things. The most deadly false doctrine in the history of the world has been Darwin's theory of evolution. If I were to get from the library some books that Darwin wrote and bring them here and read them to you, to think that you would be submitting your child to read a textbook that is influenced by evolutionistic thinking would strike terror in your hearts. Darwin believed that a human being who is ugly or sick or retarded did not deserve to breed or live. He had the wild notion in his mind that if all of the sick and all of the diseased could be killed off, that it would end sickness and disease in the world. We know from experience and common sense that that is not true. You can have a man from a family that's never had a disease of a certain kind in that family, and a woman of a family that's never had a disease of a certain kind in that family, they can get married and have children of that certain disease. And by the same token, you can have two people who both have history of disease in their family, they can get married and they can have children that are not sick. Some of the greatest geniuses in the world were sibling, brother or sister, to children who were mentally retarded. The general position of evolutionists is humankind is a scourge that needs to prove itself for its right to exist on the earth. When you see people rise up in hatred and anger at Sarah Palin, part of their hatred and anger comes from their Darwinian evolutionistic concept. And when they see that her and her husband gave birth to a Down syndrome child, and they love that child, and they protect that child and they care for that child. There is something about that that angers evolutionists. You need to understand that there is a very dark history in the world because of Darwin. Steve Grohman once met a man who had been an officer in Hitler's officers training course. And this man who had been through Hitler's officer training course said, "Mr. Grohman, the first thing Hitler taught his officers, the first thing taught to us was not war tactics. It was not hand-to-hand combat. It was not sharpshooting. The first thing taught to Hitler's officers was Darwin's theory of evolution. It was the highest priority to teach. The concept that you can take the tree of humanity and prune it by killing off the sick and the diseased is called eugenics. And the idea that Hitler would look and say, my race is going to be the best race and all other races must die. That is Darwinian evolution. That is survival of the fittest. Evolution doesn't just allow racism, it demands it. And Hitler had it all worked out. He had a list. The Aryans were human. And then from there, he went down to subhuman, half human, and all the way down to what he considered ape. And all the different races in the world, the Asians, the blacks, the Jews, the Polish, they could all find themselves in the subhuman category. And Hitler not only wanted to kill off those in the subhuman category, he wanted to kill off those that he considered sick or diseased, even in the human category. I tell you, there's been some pretty dark days because of evolution. We need to remember. Let me tell you something. Not only do we need to remember 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust, but we need to remember millions of Christians. There were 3 million Polish Christians killed in the Holocaust, and some estimates of other Christians range anywhere from 1.5 million to 2.5 million. Somewhere in the range of possibly as high as 5.5 million Christians killed in the Holocaust. Everybody always remembers all the Jews that were killed, but people don't often realize all the Christians that were killed. There were Christians who reached forth a hand to try to hide or to rescue or to smuggle out a Jew, and they were caught and they were killed because of it. There were Polish Christians that were killed just simply for being Polish. There's some pretty dark days we need to remember. When you look back on history and realize that the eugenics concept was not indigenous to Germany, it was indigenous to every country where scientists and doctors were influenced by evolutionistic thinking. Did you know that in the United States of America, during that age and during that time, the thoughts of Darwin's evolutionistic theories took hold in America and eugenics took root in America? Did you know the woman who founded Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was an evolutionist-minded Darwin believer? She believed in eugenics. Do you understand the origin of the Planned Parenthood organization was that they were to decide who they thought worthy to breed and who was not worthy to breed? And then they sold a bill of goods to ethnics and minorities, telling them that they needed to champion their right to murder their babies, and it was all suckering them into a situation orchestrated by people who didn't think they were worthy to breed. Did you know that in the United States of America, 50,000 Americans were sterilized without their consent and without their knowledge because of eugenics-minded people? You say, how could this happen, the Holocaust? How could someone be sterilized against their will in America? We need to remember. Folks, I'm telling you, the Holocaust happened. Eugenics happened. Eugenics happened in Great Britain. Eugenics happened in Germany. Eugenics happened in America. There's some things that we need to never forget. Folks, you need to understand that the biblical worldview says human life is the crowning glory of creation, and it is destined to rule as a steward over all creation. And evolution says human life is an accident. And time will tell whether or not it's worthy to even survive. And so here we stand, looking at the drawing of the shutters as the political landscape, like a pendulum, swings away from Judeo-Christian values. And as the mindset of America swings like a giant pendulum away from Judeo-Christian values, we are watching the shades drawn. We are watching the eclipse happen. We are watching the darkness settle in around us. There's some things we must never forget. We must never forget that people spilled their blood to defend the freedom of a parent to say, "No, I will not kill my handicapped child just because you don't think he deserves to live." There's some people who died on battlefields and shed their blood to defend my right to say, "No, we will love Casey and we will love Callie because they are precious children of God." Amen. We stand. Let me see one of those bulletins. I put Callie's artwork on the bulletin last night. Sister Rhonda puts the bulletin together, all except for the front cover. She emails it to me ready to go. All I have to do is pick out a picture for the front cover. I'm not. I believe that you know my heart. I believe that you'll know my heart. I'm not trying to be mean. Kids have to be taught this stuff. Kids grow up in homes with racism. They learn it. They grow up in a home free from it. They don't learn it. But even though a child might have to be taught that vicious racism, children have that natural carnal sin curse on them. Anybody here know that children can be mean? Anybody here ever have kids be mean to you when you were a child? Let's get a little more honest. Was anybody ever mean to someone when you were a child? Sister Godwin noticed the little situation, and so she stepped up and she told the children, she said, "No, Callie will be participating in this ministry." And there was, I didn't see it, but I was told by Elder Harris that he saw the same situation. He dealt with it too, a little bit more forcefully than Sister Godwin did. I hope you all don't hold it against him. I hope you don't hold it against Sister Godwin. I want our children to understand that we don't love somebody based on high IQ. We don't love somebody based on how handsome their exterior is. We don't love somebody based on the fact that they're disease-free. We love them because they're a human being and they're God's child. And He put that in us. There's one place in the book of Ecclesiastes where in the midst of all of his pessimism, and I hope you understand it is a dark book. Ecclesiastes is a dark book. It's dark not because God is dark. It's dark because this sin-cursed world is dark. This present life is dark, not by God's choice, but by Adam's choice and by Eve's choice. And because Ecclesiastes shows the preacher turning his attention to the merits or lack thereof in this present life, it is of necessity a dark book. But in the midst of that dark book, you can find glimpses of light. There's one verse where he says, "God, put eternity into the heart of a man." Can I tell you that what God put in a man is eternal, and what sickness and the sin of Adam put in a man is temporal? I'm going to say it a different way. There's coming a day when Fragile X syndrome will end, but Casey will not. There's coming a day when autism for Callie will end, but Callie will not. Here's the good news. That doesn't just apply to autism and Fragile X. It refers to every fragileness in a man. It refers to every limitation. Your heart wants to soar with God, and that law of sin and that curse of sin and that law of death at work in your members is dragging you down, holding you down. Don't just revel in sin and say, well, I just got to enjoy it because this is how God made me. No, God didn't make you that way. The curse of sin made you that way. Look forward to a day when the curse of sin will end, when the sickness will end, and you will not end, and you'll be able to worship God in the resurrection. As Solomon ponders on it, in his wisdom from God, Solomon knew that a man can't just sit on a couch and think about some of these deep things and know the answer. He knew that you had to actually live through it to find out the answer. One of the questions that he wanted to live enough to find out the answer to it is, can I get any real, genuine sense of fulfillment in this sin-cursed life? And so he says, I set out to do it all. Have you ever met anybody like that? Oh, I just came from skydiving. What is wrong in the brain of a person that would jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Comedian Jerry Seinfeld says, people are amazing. We will do things, activities, that crack our heads open. So then because our heads are getting cracked open, instead of stopping doing those activities, we will get helmets to keep from cracking our heads open and keep doing the head cracking activities. He said, listen, if you jump out of a perfectly good airplane and your chute doesn't open, then your helmet is so thankful that you were there to break its fall. Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld said the helmets get together afterward and talk about it. And one helmet says to the other, I'm really glad that human was there to break my fall. I almost hit the ground without anything to break my fall. You know, now, I like a good roller coaster, maybe, a little bit. But you ever hear somebody say, well, first we're going to go whitewater rafting, then we're going to go skydiving, then we're going to go ride a roller coaster that 13 people have puked and 2 people have died on it. And then we're going to go down a bridge day and we're going to tie a rubber band to our feet and jump off the bridge. And they call them thrill seekers. I know that people can get addicted to anything. There's people that get addicted.
Well, that's all for this week. We're out of time right now. But join us next Sunday at 11:30 a.m. when we'll hear the important conclusion to this message, Remember. Until then, my prayer for you is that God will richly bless you.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and He's not a man. He's spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning, but as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die, but as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today. And He's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox. But there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church. We're oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.